And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Man of Peace, was written by Peter Lyon and is presented in commemoration of Memorial Day and of the Festival of Shavuot.
And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And it came to pass one day that a great shadow fell over the palace of David, and all men walked softly when as they passed the room where the king sat, and his heart was filled with grief.
Calamity.
What woe is worked on Israel?
This grief is not our grief. His tears bring shame upon us.
How dare you speak so?
Oh, calamity, calamity.
The son of David the king, who is called Solomon, wondered on what he heard, and so at length went to seek out his mother.
Solomon, it's you. Come in. Come in and pull the curtain to behind you.
Secrecy? You too? What is it? It's filled the house with worried whispers. Everybody slipping by on tiptoe.
What a day.
Bad tidings from the woods of Ephraim? The battle's gone against the king?
Suppose I tell you that the victory is won, and yet the news is worse than if the king had lost.
What then? The king is safe. I saw him only now as I was passing by his council room.
King David's safe, but not his son, your half-brother.
Absalom?
Killed.
Oh, Absalom, who filled the hearts of all in Israel. What waste.
And so your father, though his son was risen against him, now is bowed with grief.
His grief is mine.
Then you're a fool. You will find no sadness in my heart.
A splendid son. He was the finest of us all.
He stood across your pathway, Solomon. Now that he's gone, one less to thwart your goal.
My goal?
The king your father's growing old. See, Solomon, why does your tutor Nathan teach you in the ways of God and how to guide the ways of men?
Why does he teach me? Why, so I'll...
So you will be fit to rule.
So I'll be fit to rule?
And where's your cause to scowl? Now, don't you see? Why, all around us in this house may grieve, but we can smile and wait and count the days and plan the deeds, contriving always what will best ensure that one day.
But, Mother, wait.
I'll wait. Wait. Don't worry. Patience is the virtue fits me best. I'll wait, and so will you, until the day when resolution's fist can close and bid all patience vanish.
But...
Yes, and then...
I've never dreamed of this. For Absalom was oldest.
Now he's dead.
But still his brother, Adonijah, he is the older prince.
He's older, yes. But still, I tell you, you will be king.
And so it was that Adonijah, the son of David's wife Haggith, was the first prince in the land. And he exalted himself, and he prepared himself chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And it came to pass that he entered before Solomon to look down upon him.
Oh, Solomon.
Your servant is here.
I like that phrase you use in address, Solomon. It fits.
Why come you here?
To hear you speak me so. to reassure myself that what you say, you also think.
Why should I not?
The time is burdened with dangerous thoughts. While as the king our father counts his days and soon will grow more weak and feeble...
The buzzard swoops on high above the wounded lion of Judah.
What's that? Why I am here is to warn the wise how dangerous it is to harbor hopes of future glory.
Go. Stand before a mirror and repeat that moral to yourself.
My bodyguard is loyal, Solomon. And in this land, besides the king, there's only one to whom tradition may admit a bodyguard. That one's the prince who will be king. Is this speech plain enough?
I hear the words.
Make sure to pay them heed. So long you spend your time at books with Nathan, so long you'll stay at peace. But see your path stays clear of mine.
And Solomon was troubled by the turn of events, and he prayed to the Lord, and in his perplexity he turned to the prophet Nathan, his tutor, for words of counsel.
My mother has said to me thus and so, and now there has come to me my father's eldest son, Adonijah, bringing threats and talking wildly.
My son, your words are not so wild, but neither have they meaning. What has your mother told you, and why does Adonijah threaten?
They speak of how my father ails and who will take his place.
Oh, who?
My mother says I am to be the king. She says she has the promise of King David.
She told you this.
And you? You'd known he promised so?
Let me tell a story. High on the mountain was the eagle's nest, and he soared over all the world, beating the air with mighty wings, tearing at his enemies with cruel talons. And two others watched him. One was the mockingbird, the other was the eaglet. The mockingbird's wings could not carry him to the heights of the eagle, and his talons were not fierce. Only his voice was like the eagle's. And the other birds laughed him to shame.
And the eaglet?
The eaglet saw the eagle soar above the world and thought, I too will swoop and glide so and rule all that I see. And he fluttered out of the nest and tumbled onto the rocks below, for his wings, which would have been one day as mighty as his father's, were then still too weak.
My mother said she had his promise.
The king, your father, promised that he who would be king after him would be a man of wisdom, with an understanding heart, a man who'd know that power for itself is nothing, but only good when wisely used. You are a boy.
A boy? I'm old enough.
And more than years are needed to make a man. Come, we've chattered long enough. It's time you turn back to your studies.
And it came to pass that there rose up a man against David the king and blew a trumpet, crying, Every man to his tents, O Israel! And there went out after him to pursue him the mighty men of David, and there was much blood spilled. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his mighty men with him and fought against the Philistines. Even four battles they fought, and there was much blood spilled. And David waxed faint and returned to Jerusalem. And his two sons, even Adonijah and Solomon, stood before him.
Adonijah. Solomon.
At your bidding, Father.
We made a compact, we three, that after these battles, henceforward you would ride at my chariot wheel and fight with my soldiers whenever again the trumpet should sound.
I am ready, Father. We go once more against the Philistines?
The battles are over. And because we have a compact, I wish to tell you why you will not fight at my right hand.
Not? Fight?
Too much blood already has been spilled. The Lord has been my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, so was I saved from my enemies. But when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And then I knew an end must come to all these wars.
An end to fighting with our enemies? And when they drive across our fields?
Our land is secure. The time is here for peace. The shield of the Lord is our salvation, but it is gentleness that will make us great.
And now we build.
And now we build, Solomon.
You understand, you two, why it is our compact will now be forgot?
Not forgot, Father.
Good. Yes, it will be remembered. It is important to keep the meaning fresh. It's good to keep the memory fresh of all the blood that spilled, and how the earth shook and trembled, and how the sorrows of hell compassed us about. Good to keep those memories alive, for it's because of them that now we'll build a peace for all our land. That's understood by both of you? Solomon?
We'll harvest fruit and grain, and now's the time for rejoicing.
Adonijah?
The only harvest we will reap will be the wrath of our surrounding enemies. You'll see! Our father has grown soft.
You're wrong.
I never thought I'd live to see the time when he would sit back on his throne and comb his hair and think of lazy days of peace.
He knows what's best.
What's best is riding out in smoke and fire to see our country grow and all our foes are scattering before our thunder.
And men die and women weep. Adonijah, a country cannot grow which feeds on war.
You're just like him. What's our strength if it's not to use it? What's our army if it's not a javelin in the heart of him who'd say us nay?
I'm with our father. Peace is what our people need. A war is only good when it is only memory.
And David, thinking on a way to keep the peace, said to his general Joab and to the rulers of the people,
"Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it."
And the king's word prevailed. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout Israel, counting the people.
And now we'll know.
Adonijah, you have a hand in this plan to number all the people?
A hand in it is my counsel. It all fits in with what I've planned.
It's wrong.
Go supervise the threshing. Go order women about, but leave these martial projects to the king and me.
The Lord may make his people 1,000 times as many more as they may be or less. It matters not.
Matters not. It matters much how many men there are who are fit to draw a sword.
And still they are servants of the king. Their number matters not. It is a trespass.
You think? I've plans for when this census is complete. As soon as first we know how many are the men who stand prepared to join in fighting.
This was the king's reason for bidding Joab go out and count the
people? I don't know about his reasons, but I have mine. The lesson's one of arithmetic. So many thousands counted who can fight. And once again, our legions march in triumph.
But Nathan.
Yes?
The lesson Adonijah would learn is one of war.
And he will learn his lesson is abominable, my son. Why do you think that Joab undertook this counting with a heavy heart? For remember, Joab is a soldier.
And still he was against the task?
He knows the Lord will frown on Israel for the census. Joab, a soldier, understands that when there is a need for war, for men to defend their land, there will be enough and more for the task, no matter what the census. He understands that counting heads of soldiers for a war of conquest is an evil thing.
And my father David?
Your father David listened to evil counsel. And so the Lord will smite him for this thing.
And it came to pass, even as Nathan had said, for the Lord smote Israel, and David, repenting, set up an altar to the Lord, saying,
"This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel."
And it came to pass that David sent for Solomon his son, and when he was come and standing before him, he said unto him,
"It was in my mind, Solomon, to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God."
The days of war have been long in our land, and such a house will be a symbol for peace.
Yes, but the building of such a symbol is not for me. For behold, I have shed blood abundantly and have made great wars.
because I have shed much blood upon the earth in the sight of the Lord, it is not fit that I should build this house.
But this is work for the king, or for him who will be king.
Yes.
And shall I then fetch Adonijah so that...
Adonijah, too, is a man of war.
But...
We called your name Solomon, from Shalom, for you were a man of peace. This task of building a house unto the Lord is yours. Behold, then, for I charge you with this work, and I have prepared for you 100,000 talents of gold and 100,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and you may add as it is needed.
I pray the Lord to help me prosper in this work.
For I remember how it was you who knew that the work of building must begin. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with you.
And is it, as I said, that this work was work for a king or for one who will be king?
It is work for a man of peace, Solomon.
And should it be a man of war who will be king, my father?
I cannot tell, Solomon. I cannot tell.
And it came to pass that David grew old and weak with the weight of his years. And his son Adonijah, perceiving this, gathered to him certain leaders of the people, and they following helped him. And Adonijah called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Solomon his brother he called not. And Adonijah prepared a feast, which would be a celebration, for it was in his mind to proclaim that he was king. And it happened that Nathan the prophet came to Solomon and spoke to him apart.
You remember, O Solomon, how once I told you of the mockingbird and the eaglet?
I remember.
So now the mockingbird attempts to scare.
And the eaglet?
It is time to find whether the eaglet is not now an eagle, full grown.
He is full grown.
Your father's son, Adonijah, is outside the city, and there is with him his guard and Joab the soldier and his men and many others. Your father's son, Adonijah, reigns as king. But your father knows it not.
He will find out.
When? After Adonijah has brought him the news with your blood on his hands?
He'd kill me.
And your mother, Bathsheba. You doubt it?
But surely David will forbid...
The time to act is now, my son. Take the nettle in your fist and clench it quickly. So, or else it stings, and this time stings to kill.
Take the nettle.
Here your mother comes.
Solomon and Nathan... Have you heard?
I've heard, and so has he.
So, Solomon?
There's just one thing that nags at me.
What's that?
He is the older. His is the birthright. Even David, when I asked him not so long
ago... Solomon, what you've learned has taught you surely this. That now our country needs a king who will rule with strength. With strength...
But Adonijah's strength...
With strength for peace. Will Adonijah work for peace?
And so we'll act.
What first?
You told me once that David swore to you that I'd be king.
That's right.
That's right, and I'll confirm his oath.
Mother, do you go straight to David. Remind him of his promised word. While she's yet with him, Nathan, do you follow in and add your voice to hers?
But Solomon...
I'd have him give the sign to me, not take it for myself. Go, work quickly. If all goes well, he'll send for me today to give his sign that I'm to reign henceforth.
Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And the king David answered and sware and said,
As the Lord lives that has redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly thy son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day.
Listen.
Did you hear?
I heard the trumpets blow and the pipe.
What?
A celebration in the city.
Oh, there comes one from the city, a messenger.
Oh, this way. What tidings from the city?
Verily,
our Lord King David has made so...
Has what? Has what, man?
Has made Solomon king. And they have caused him to ride upon the king's royal horse. And the priest Zadok and Nathan the prophet have anointed him with oil and Gihon. And now all the city rejoices. And Solomon sits upon the throne and reigns.
Solomon king. Wait. Wait. There is still time. If we stand together.
Send for Adonijah.
Your brother Adonijah has sought sanctuary, O king.
Sanctuary?
He is at the altar. He asks that you swear that you will not slay him with a sword.
Send for him. Send and tell him he must appear before me.
Your servant begs your mercy, King Solomon.
I like that phrase you use in address, Adonijah. It fits.
My lord.
Here's a moral, Adonijah. Can you profit from it?
My lord.
You stood for violence and bloodshed. The power you sought for conquest and war. Now where do you stand?
At the mercy of my lord.
Power is a heady drink, Adonijah. You would do well to water it with understanding. You should know that I have had advice to kill you. My counselors would tell me you are able to comprehend only a violent act.
My lord swore
but
he would...
But their advice is theirs. I'll do differently. If you will show yourself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of you fall to the earth. But if wickedness be found in you, you shall die. It's understood?
My lord is merciful.
Go to your house.
Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Solomon sat upon his throne, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from the north of Galilee even unto the Negev. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore.
My lord has sent for me.
Sit down here, Nathan.
What is the king's wish?
I remember how you came to the king, my father, and told him that it would not be his task, but mine, to build a temple of our God, for as much as his hands were red with the blood of many wars.
My lord proposes to set about this project?
Our country is united, and we are strong. This much we have from David. But our strength and our unity demand something more. They demand the inner strength of Torah.
The house of the Lord our God will be the house of Torah for all the people of Judah and Israel to see.
I want this house to be seen by more than just the men of Judah and Israel.
Where else do men worship the one God?
Nathan, if we issue orders that this temple shall be builded of cedars from Lebanon, of stone from Egypt, shall be emblazoned with the riches of every land which is our neighbor.
Yes.
So it can be a symbol of more than discipline and order in our land. It can stand as well for the brotherhood that must exist between our men and the men of our surroundings. Let the temple to the one God shine forth as monument of peace between all men. War must be a sacred memory upon which the foundation of lasting peace must be built.
Oh, wise king.
Its materials, their materials, builded by their craftsmen as well as ours, so that while it stands, our land shall abide in one world of peace. The handclasp of Solomon to all men shall be shalom.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Rabbi Edward T. Sandro, Rabbi of Temple Bethel, Cedarhurst, Long Island. Rabbi Sandro.
The dramatic presentation of Man of Peace An eloquent chapter in the life of King Solomon is perfectly timed. The United States, Russia, Britain, and France are meeting in Paris to clear the international atmosphere and bring hope to the democratic peoples of the world. In this season, we in America are paying special tribute to those heroes who gave their lives for freedom, for bread, and love. In this season, we of the Jewish faith also observe the festival of Shavuot, the holiday of Torah, the inner core of all our ethical and moral striving, the root of Judaism. It is fitting then that the message of this broadcast be affirmed and reaffirmed. The world we live in is not yet a peaceful one. There is so much misunderstanding. We have not yet developed sufficient maturity and patience to overcome much of the bewilderment and disillusionment which exists in many high places. Solomon knew the techniques of cooperation. He wanted a house of God, one God, the Father of all, made by the hands and hearts of all his neighbors, sharing equally in the process of building a peaceful society. Should that not be the theme of the Paris Conference, the United Nations, our Memorial Day celebration, our festival of Shavuot? We, Americans and Jews, who are architects of the democratic ideal, can take up the task where Solomon began it. We can champion the cause of independence for peoples who still have no freedom in colonial and semi-feudal lands. We can help bring opportunity, freedom, and economic justice to those who are denied such rights. We can justifiably cry out that we dislike ominous cold wars, even as we dread bloody shooting ones, that our generation yearns and prays for peace. We do not want to make a mockery out of flag waving and grave decorating. We want to bring our soldier dead, whose silence speaks for them, an end to all war and meaning to the peace for which they dream. We want to come closer to the new heavens and the new earth, which our festival of Shavuot, the time of the giving of the Torah, symbolizes, shining forth as a monument of peace and social greatness for every human being on this earth. Solomon envisioned that it could be done. We, the builders of the present, must labor to shape man forever in his true image, the image of God.
Thank you, Rabbi Sandro. Our Eternal Light drama today, Man of Peace, was written by Peter Lyon and was based on the book King Solomon by Frederick Thieberger. It was presented in commemoration of Memorial Day and of the Festival of Shavuot. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Solomon was Leon Janney, and Bernard Lenro was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.